Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hey, what's going on? This is your boy, J. Will, your host of the J. Will Podcast. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered a legal, health, tax, or professional advice. We are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast or podcast information. You can find the J. Will Podcast homepage on rss.com. And there, if you would like to make a donation to the podcast, please do so by finding the donate feature on the homepage, or you may do so via Cash App at $JWillPodcast. You can also find the J Will Podcast on mostly all podcast platforms, including your Apple Podcast, your Deezer Podcast, etc. Follow my music page at James Williams Music on Facebook. This podcast is brought to you by J Will Music Production LLC. And Mr. Chris Crane at Charlie's Music Factory. To get in contact with J. Will Music Production LLC, email me at leewill@gmail.com or either J. Will Music Production LLC, saw one word, at gmail.com, or hit Mr. Chris Crane for all your music inquiries or music production needs at chriscrane@charliesmusicfactory@gmail.com. All right. Don't forget to follow me on my Facebook page. If I said that before, James Williams Music, and also have a new radio station, J. Will Gospel Radio. Go to live365.com and download that app and look up J. Will Gospel Radio and enjoy gospel music 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, homies and homies, boys and girls, I have on set with me tonight is Dr. Russell Whitney II, who's a DBA, GBL, and has an MBA. How are you, sir?
Doing great, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited to have you, man. The pleasure is mine. I try to interview people that the mainstream media doesn't seem to find or even want to cover. Yeah. And so I make sure that I get in touch with all you young fellas. Man, you look kind of young, man. What are you, 25?
Oh, I wish. I will be 42 January the 5th.
Wow. You've got some great accomplishments by the age of 42. But we're going to get in that just a second. Where are you from?
Oh, man. So military kid. So we moved everywhere. So I'm originally from Kentucky, but I've lived in California, New York, Boston, Texas. You name it.
Wow. Wow. So how was that growing up as a military kid?
Wow. So it was pretty challenging, if I could be honest, because it's like once you got used to a school, you got used to teachers, you got used to friends, and it was like kind of time to move. So it was challenging, but you know what? It honestly made me to love to travel. So one of my favorite hobbies is I just love to travel and just go places and do different things.
Yeah. Now, who was in the military, your dad or your mom?
My dad.
Okay. Is he still in?
Yeah, he actually still is. He's going to be retiring in a couple of years. And actually, my parents are going to be moving to Houston. So that's a new state to add to the list.
Yeah, yeah. So what is your dad doing in the military?
He actually is a human resources officer.
Okay.
So he's a warrant officer, they call it.
Oh, what? Whoa. Did you say warrant officer?
Yeah.
Hey, man. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I'm ex-military.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. And when you hear somebody say warrant officer is coming, like everybody calls him sir.
Yep, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, you don't play around with them warrant officers, man. Let me tell you. So, you're church affiliate.
Yep.
How long have you been in church?
Ooh, man. Well, I grew up in the Baptist church. So I kind of grew up in church, and then I actually ended up leading my parents to church, to the Lord, which is really different. Right. So I would say I grew up in church. All I remember, I've always been in church. Somebody's taken me to church. Kind of come from a ministry of a family of ministers.
Yeah.
I think it was just something that's just on me. It's just on our generation, on our family.
Wow. So if I understand correctly, and ladies and gentlemen, bear with us because I really want you to get to know this young man. He's a brilliant young fellow. But you are a prophet.
Yes, sir.
When did you grow to understand your calling, and when did it trans? Because you don't see many prophets in the Baptist church.
So true.
When did the transition take place to where you found yourself in position to declare your prophethood, if you will?
I love it. I love it. Wow. So I definitely got some stories for us, you know. So we'll see how it goes tonight. But you know, being called a prophet at a very young age was very humbling, but also challenging. You know, a lot of people, you know, there's a misnomer, especially in the body of Christ, about prophets. If prophets are for today, and you know, they all died in the Old Testament, New Testament, you know, all of this. But even kind of growing up in the Baptist church, very different. So, you know, kind of just really quickly. So when you're called to be a prophet, you're born a prophet. You can't go to school to make you a prophet. Somebody can't lay hands on you. Now you are a prophet. That's not how it works. You're just born that way. So you're born open up already to the supernatural. So you are seeing demonic activity. You're seeing angels. You're hearing things from God. And it takes somebody to really mentor you, to kind of help you understand what you're seeing. Because to be honest, sometimes you think you're crazy. Like, I'm crazy. How did I know this? And it came, you know what I mean? And so kind of just to talk about that, you're called at birth. And I remember, obviously I was little, but I remember kind of just my mother kind of filling in the gaps for me. So she had me when she was 20 years old. And she says that she remembers, like, no joke. So for those of you that are listening, so this is really interesting. But she said that she remembered when she gave birth to me, that the Lord told her. She's never heard the voice of God before, but she did at that moment. And he told her, I want you to dedicate him to me because this is my voice. And he will be a voice to his generation and the generations that are to come. And she with, okay, you know, God is talking to me, right? She lifted me up before the Lord in the air and dedicated me to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, I got so many questions involved, right? So, you know, there are some that believe, and there are some that don't believe.
Yeah.
Some of the non-believers would believe that this is all hoogly boogly. You know what I'm saying? This is all hoogly boogly. You know. But I know you were born a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
How did you adjust, or how difficult was it to adjust emotionally and mentally, knowing that you carry this and that you are a seer? As you know, if you're a prophet, you're a seer. You hear and you see stuff.
Yeah.
How do you, as a young kid, understand or get, you know, try to understand what you've been graced with?
Yeah. So, you know, man, so it was a very interesting journey. And I remember just kind of growing up to kind of use maybe an analogy, kind of feeling like the outsider or like the ugly duckling, like, you know, you're just so different. You always gravitate to, you know, by yourself, or you just know things about people. But I kind of just remember kind of just going back to the church. Remember, we talked about me growing up in a Baptist church, on top of that, missionary Baptist church, like red hymnals and everything, right?
Yeah.
So I remember, well, let me kind of go back here. So loved Benny Hinn growing up, especially on, you know, watching TV. And, you know, I just knew something was different about me. And so I was so drawn, like, to Benny Hinn and seeing, like, the miracles and the crusades and different things like that. And I'm not sure if you remember. So back in the day, I'm not sure if he still does it, but he used to, like, you know, have people, like, put their hands on the screen and things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember being a little kid, just knowing that there was something more to God and more to this Christian experience. And I was just asking God that night, and Lord, just use me, like use me for your glory. Do something different through me. Now, I didn't know this whole time that it was something that I was already destined to be, right? So I remember at that time just asking, remember Baptist, but asking Holy Spirit to fill me with his spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Here we go. That's a whole problem, right?
Yeah.
And then the next couple of days, I kid you not, like my pastor at the time called our house crying in tears and told my parents, I don't know what it is. I don't have visions from God, but I just had a vision from God. And the Lord told me I need to bring Russell into ministry. And I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And he said he had a vision and he saw me ministering in front of thousands of people. And that's when God started talking to him about bringing me into ministry. This is how it all started.
Wow. Like,
okay. You know what I mean? And so that's how the journey happened. But I always knew I was different. So even growing up in grade school and high school, I was kind of just knew that something was different about me. People would normally come up to me and tell me all their problems and all their issues. They would always say, well, I'm not sure why I'm telling you this, but I just feel like, you know, I should tell you this or whatever. And I'm like, why are people like, you know what I mean? So I grew up with that. I grew up with some rejection a little bit because I was just so different. And,
sure,
you know, all of these questions that I had about my purpose and my destiny. But all of this time, I didn't know that God was forming something in me. You know that scripture that talks about the potter and the potter's wheel, how he forms and he shapes? You know, I didn't realize that that's what he was doing until I went to college. I was like, this all makes sense. So you have more questions because I got so many stories.
No, I mean, that's what we're here for. We want people to know you and your accomplishments, but knowing the totality of where you were and where you are now and where you're going can be inspiring to someone who's possibly has the same gift, but it's misunderstood or misguided.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So true. And then kind of just to pick up on the story. So I remember, you know, when I went to college, I went to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I remember me and my mom kind of just going to kind of visit the school, you know what I mean? And I walked out and I could just feel the presence of God on the grounds.
Wow.
And the Lord told me, he said, this is it for you. This is where I'm going to train you and teach you who you are. I was like, okay. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay. I'm still like, you know, all right, God, I told you I want you to use me and all this stuff. And so I remember being so drawn to the prophetic and not knowing why. Now, remember, you're born a prophet, but sometimes it takes you to realize who you really are called to be. And a lot of people, especially in the Baptist church, couldn't tell me what a prophet was. And I remember God leading me to, you know, Jeremiah 1:5 that talks about, you know, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. For some reason, that was a scripture that kept ringing in my spirit. I said, okay, all right. So what is a prophet, right? And so I remember going to, in Tulsa, there's a bookstore called Mardell. And I would go, they have a prophetic section, a charismatic section, a speaking in tongues and prophecy and all that stuff. I literally bought every book. So when my parents were sending me money, you know, to eat and stuff like that, guess what I was doing with that money? Buying books.
Wow.
Buying books. And so one day, my RA, resident advisor, he came into my room. Now, I had all these books on the prophetic. He was like, why do you have so many books on the prophetic? He's like, I'm like, man, I'm called to be a prophet. I'm trying to figure out who I was. Just bold, you know, called to be a prophet. Didn't understand it. People like, what the heck are you talking about? But he was like, you know what? You remind me of this lady. And he was like, her name is Pam Vinette. And he says, she has a prophetic conference every year. You should go to it.
Wow.
Yeah. When I tell you, God set you up. So I went to this prophetic conference. Weird. Hear this. I went to this prophetic conference and I stood in the back. I was like, okay, number one, I don't know what prophets are. I'm still trying to figure out who I am and all that. And this, I was set in the back of the room. And this lady said to me, hey, prophet, we've been waiting for you.
What?
Now, I didn't know if I wanted to run out or what.
I'd probably ran, bro.
I was like, okay, this is so weird. But I remembered hearing God say, hey, you're here for a reason. I'm going to train you. I'm going to show you who you are. And a lot of times when people don't know how to train you or mentor you, God himself will teach you. Now, yeah. I do believe that he gives us mentors. And so in that particular meeting was Pam Vinette, which became my spiritual mother. So even today, she has been training me in the prophetic and the apostolic for 25 years. Crazy.
Oh, wow.
So we're still connected to this day. So I believe in spiritual fathers and mothers. But it was in that time where me just learning, spending time with her. At that time, I met her in that conference, and she told me things that I didn't know that anybody would know except for God himself. And then she had announced that she was starting a church. So she started a church. First service, I went there. She ministered to me about being called to be a prophet to nations. And she specifically told me there are 17 nations that God has called you to. And when you get older, you're going to impact them in a different way. She said, you're not going to understand that. But she said, you're going to understand as you get older. So my journey to the prophetic has been very intense. Just because, you know, so many people now, you know, Jay will say, you know, hey, prophets aren't real. And we have this big thing about false prophets and prophets. So if people do believe in prophets, there's so many false prophets out there that are taking people's money and lying to them. And there's so many different things. So this office is a very humbling office. Just because when you think about it, when a true prophet gives a prophetic word, it has the ability to literally shape somebody's purpose and their destiny. So you need a prophet that's been mentored and trained, because everything that you see and everything that you hear doesn't mean you're supposed to say it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, as for me, you know, I like prophets and I don't like prophets.
You probably see a lot of the bad stuff.
So, you know, because either they're going to tell you something to benefit you, but they're going to tell you something that you really don't, you thought nobody else knew, but yes, God shares it with you. So I guess your sins can find you out. but no, I don't have a problem with prophets. How can young people recognize and nurture their gifts? I know that, you know, God called you from, you know, before the foundation of the world. God already knew that Dr. Russell Whitney II was going to be or is a prophet. But for some young person that's struggling with their spiritual identity, how can they recognize what that is? What kind of people should they hang around, you know, church-wise or spiritual-wise?
Great question. Well, definitely, as I kind of look back at my journey, God always had me connecting with people that were spiritual or could be like mentors. So I remember I talked about growing up in the Baptist church. What Baptist churches back in Oklahoma didn't believe in speaking in tongues. So if you speaking in tongues and something like that, there's something wrong with you. They fanning you. They think, you know what I mean? They just, they fanning you and stuff like that. But the church has had, I say the church, the body of Christ, so much confusion about the gift of speaking in tongues versus the personal devotional speaking in tongues. So I remember being very confused because I could feel the Spirit of God bubbling in me and through me, even in the Baptist church, with things to tell people, with encouragement, with words of comfort and exhortation. And sometimes those were even corrective words that I got as a prophet. But I remember that journey of just really the speaking in tongues thing. And God led an old Baptist mother in our church that was filled with the Spirit and would prophesy, would speak in tongues. She didn't let everybody know that, but she did. And the Lord used her in a season to help me to understand that I wasn't crazy, but there really was this prophetic calling. And a lot of times the gift of prophecy flows sometimes with speaking in tongues or that gift of tongues gift. And so me kind of understanding and say, hey, this is okay. This is normal. And she walked me through the scriptures to understand. And it was at that time, even growing up in the Baptist church, that I remember being 12 years old, baptizing people. I was always called, my pastor would say, hey, we want you to baptize so-and-so, so-and-so today. And I was like, okay. And so I'm sitting in the water, going through the whole thing and all that. And I'm getting this word from God and there's fire that's in my hands. And I remember just following God and just laying hands on people and ministering to them under the anointing in the Baptist church.
Wow.
And at that time, I was the youngest minister to ever be licensed or, and ordained in that particular church that's now 120 years old.
Wow.
So my journey has been very intense, but I, what I would say to young people, you have to have this relationship with God to understand what he's called you to. Then from there, God will show you in the scripture what you are, help you identify that. But I'm a firm believer that he will put mentors in your pathway. That doesn't mean they'll be in your seat in your life forever. It could be just a season. But if I would encourage young people is to find what that thing is that God has really called you to, and then God will order your steps and put in mentors. There's so many books that are out there as well. I would say definitely try every spirit by the spirit, you know what I mean? But making sure that that person is spirit-filled, loves God, you know, that their motives are pure, all of these things that I would kind of tell them.
So I want to go back to something before I ask you this next question. And it's not a setup question. Let me start this way.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Okay. Does a person necessarily have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost or be filled with the Spirit?
I'm a firm believer they do not. I believe to experience the fullness of what God has called us to with the Christian experience, I think it is icing on the cake. On top of that as well, I could just only speak for me. When there were times that I needed wisdom and direction, I did not know what to pray for. I did not have an understanding. Holy Spirit would pray through me. And there's sometimes where God will lead you into prayer and there's no words. There's no English. You know, do I believe that? Well, let's just say this. I know that not every Christian will be filled with the Holy Spirit, far as the evidence of speaking in tongues, just because there's some barriers there. I think that's just living the fullness of this Christian life. But yeah, that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, because I mean, I've met some people that say they feel with the Holy Ghost, but they don't have temperance.
They're
not loving.
You gotta have the fruit, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're like mean as a Cheshire cat with a bad tooth, like. Some bad stuff like that.
Yeah, fruit for sure.
And you feel with the Holy Ghost? Like, yeah. So how has your prophetic calling influenced your approach to your professional and personal development?
Wow. I would say this. It's helped me see beyond what's in front of me. Whether I'm solving a problem in HR, so I'm an HR director. So I deal with employee relations, I deal with onboarding, I deal with, you know, consulting even to our CEO and our senior leadership, and making them make a lot of decisions as it relates to the organization and our workforce. So it's helped me even guide somebody through a career decision. Now, part of being a prophet, and sometimes people don't know I'm a prophet until they learn me or, you know, get to know me a little bit more. But a lot of times I could look at people and I can see what they're called to do, even in the market. Yeah. So I can look at somebody, you know, see what God has called them to do as it relates to business, entrepreneurship, or even maybe they're called to government or they're called to do certain things. Because I am a prophet, I could just see it, look at somebody, say, you're going through a situation, you're not having success in this area because you're really supposed to do this. And then two, so that's a little bit where, you know, being dual mantled as an apostle and a prophet, so that apostles say, okay, help me build you according to the blueprint that God has put over your life. So kind of being able to see as the prophet, but that apostle too, kind of being able to kind of help build them and to shape them the way that God wants them to be. But that prophetic gifting allows me to also align people with their potential and their purpose as well. Much like kind of how I've aligned my calling with practical steps of obedience and growth. So a lot of times as a prophet, I can see trends in business. I can see trends in the economy, but I also can see what a person is called to do.
Huh. So how did you get into being human resources? How'd that come?
Funny. I fell into it, honestly. You know, even having an MBA and a legal background, I've realized that I love like people and kind of being able to kind of see somebody at stage one, be able to walk them all the way to, you know, the to the end of the stage. But I fell into HR because I love recruiting. So when I was at ORU, you know, I was like a campus recruiter and, you know, telling everybody about the school and meeting families and things like that. Just love recruiting, which a lot of times recruiting is sales, right? So kind of loving getting people to what they're looking for. So I did recruiting a little bit for Robert Half. So I would help people find new jobs and interviewing them and resume reviewing and helping with resumes. And love HR, have a passion for HR. And something I just fell into. I think it probably relates to really my kingdom purpose as well, kind of building people.
So you kind of touched a little bit on how you can see things and you can help people. You know, lead them towards what they should be doing or try to help them in a path. Do you think your faith plays more of a role in that with helping people? And are there times when you're trying to help guide people towards their next career path that the prophetic kicks in and you start reading people's menus?
Great question. If I can be honest with you, 100% every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every day I have to use the gifting that God has given me. But as it relates to, you know, even how I'm integrating my faith, like in leadership or like workforce culture, it's, you know, the faith that I know that I have been set for such a time as this, right? That God has sent me into the kingdom. So understanding who I am as a kingdom person, you know, I know that I'm there to serve, to, you know, show as an example, you know, to have integrity, you know, to lead with compassion, you know, building trust, you know, empowering people to bring like their whole selves to work. And be honest, in HR, you see everything. So their whole self, right? But really making sure that employees feel valued, but that that their potential is really limitless. And this is where the prophetic and being a minister comes in. Because I've been able to minister to people at work. I'm like, hey, I forgot that I'm at work. You know, crying, people crying and stuff like that. And just, how did you know this? And how do you know that? And then I have to tell them, you know, it's not me. It's the Spirit of God. And God wants you to know this.
You know, it's very interesting. And ladies and gentlemen, I know you've heard Dr. Russell, Dr. Prophet, Apostle Russell, we're going to give him some more titles, mentioned the kingdom of God. And so I just want to elaborate on it just a little bit, because my understanding of kingdom of God, or kingdom, it means dominion.
Yes.
So when you have the kingdom of God, it means that God's dominion is prominent and influential, but bringing God's kingdom to earth is bringing God's dominion to earth. So basically, in your work environments, you're bringing God's dominion in the work environment, if I understand this correctly.
Yeah, so true. Even with, you know, even sometimes consulting with my CEO, having to tell her, you know, things that, you know, are equitable and right, but then I'm knowing from the Spirit of God what God wants to do. You know what I mean? And so it took me a minute. I'm not going to say this happened overnight, but it took me a minute to understand that because I am a minister or a prophet, I don't have to separate business and ministry, that I marry them together. A lot of times I'm not preaching, I'm not prophesying, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but my counsel and my recommendations are spirit-led.
And you know what? That's wisdom, you know, and for all you people that are listening, there are ways to get God's message across without being offensive or overbearing with it. You know, that sometimes that's a turnoff. You know what I'm saying? If you're in a work environment, you know, you can influence somebody spiritually by not coming across as being a holy roller in the workplace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of that. I've seen the people that, not this, kind of growing up in different jobs. I've seen the people that bring their Bible to church and have their anointing oil and tell everybody they're fasting and they're praying. So we've seen those holy rollers that sometimes have even give a bad name sometimes even to Christianity, because people, they judge people. The way they dress or where they look, or if they've gone out to date with somebody or did something with somebody that they wasn't married to. I've seen it all in the marketplace and how people have felt judged. And if you want to be honest, that's why sometimes a lot of people don't want to come to church, because they feel that that judgment is there. You know what I mean? Yeah. But that's not the message of the kingdom. Let's bring you into the kingdom, then let's work on everything else. But let's bring you in first.
Yeah. I mean, it's like trying to clean the fish before you catch him.
Yep.
You got to get him on the hook and get him in the bucket.
That's it.
Yeah. So let's transition here just a little bit. Let's talk about your educational background here. We know you went to college. I know you just received a doctorate degree.
Yes, sir.
But let's talk about your educational journey.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you're smart as they come. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Oh, thanks.
But tell me about your educational journey.
Yeah. So my journey. So it's funny. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound very funny. One of the things with the prophetic is sometimes you're able to give everybody else wisdom, but when it comes to your own life, you're like, is God even talking to me? Does God even like me? I'm like, you know what I mean? And it's part of that process too. But my journey has been intense because I'm like, God, what am I supposed to do? When you feel like you could do everything in the world, how do you pinpoint something?
Yeah.
So, I have a legal background. So was a paralegal for years. So sports and entertainment law, family law, was in private practice, was in corporate law, drafting contracts. So I have an intense education, even in being a paralegal. Then I have an HR degree as well. So I have a master's in business. So I've actually have helped people establish businesses, you know, get them legal, all of those things. I could draft contracts in my sleep. My educational background, I have a bachelor's in science and business administration, and then a master's in business, and then an HR certification, paralegal certification, now a doctorate in business, and I'm 2 more years shy of being an attorney.
Wow. So basically, you're a good person to know. I'm glad I know you. So congratulations on earning your doctorate in business. What inspired you to pursue that degree?
Whew, man. So I really feel like I wanted to... kind of going back to what we were talking about with having dominion, right? As a kingdom person, I really felt like I wanted to set myself up to have the expertise, but have the mastery in business. And so I used my doctoral, and that was even a journey, even itself. So I was supposed to graduate like a year and a half, but it took me 3 years to finish it, because I was halfway done with my dissertation and my chair got fired. My dissertation chair got fired. So I had a new chair that came on, and he was like, we got to do this thing all over. Like, she didn't do certain things that needed to be done. He was like, we got to start all over. I was devastated, y'all.
Wow.
But I remember God saying, hey, I got you. I felt defeated. You know what I mean? Because this is not... it's not cheap, right? But it was in that just kind of knowing who I was and what I was called to. And then one of the things that God has graced me with is really time management. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I don't know how I'm able to get everything accomplished but God. But I knew I wanted to pursue this doctorate in business to deepen my expertise. And so my focus is global business and leadership. And so I wanted to be able to offer solutions to challenges that people face, but then being able to kind of even take my business expertise to the next level with that research component into it. So, you know, at this point, I can advise anybody really how to take their business on a global level, or even I can, you know, consult and give wisdom and solutions to even global corporations how to go to the next level.
So, what did you learn going through the doctoral process? And you had to go through it twice. But what
extended? Yep.
I'm sorry about that. I guess you learned how to be patient and persistent. But what did you take away from, you know, outside? I mean, you have your doctrine, but what did you learn during that process?
Yeah. So business is ever evolving. It's ever changing. And so even with my doctoral degree, I had to do a research project. And so I had to take a real life business issue and do research on it. And so what I actually ended up doing is I ended up doing my dissertation on my current role right now in human resources and exploring how to help with employee turnover and to reduce the retention that's involved with employee turnover. So I did that, but the focus, well, the doctoral degree really kind of taught me that we're in this ever-evolving world. And even as it relates to global business, that your business's ability to pivot is so important. If you've always done business a certain way forever, you're gonna reach some competition that's gonna probably take you out. You gotta always have to pivot. And so even in this particular doctoral journey, they kind of showed us how to advise corporations with something that's called change management. So I'm also in the process of getting a certification in this, but change management, how you help corporations that might be going through intense change. Maybe it's a CEO that stepped down or got fired or, you know, whatever it might be. But a lot of times organizations, they struggle if they don't have good change management. We can even apply this into our own lives or even to the church, change management. But I learned even in my doctoral degree how to advise corporations how to do that and to think on a bigger global level with doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get you. I don't know if you knew this, but I was trained as a Six Sigma Green Belt.
What? Come
and
on.
So, yeah. And so all the, you know, the process analysis, the workouts, the value stream mapping, creating good practices so you don't have to do rework, and improving efficiency helps you stay relevant and make the necessary pivots in business.
Yes, sir.
And I look at several churches across the globe, and I see that they're doing the same thing that they were doing 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And wondering why they're failing. Is because they don't want to make the strategic changes that's necessary to stay relevant with the current times.
Yeah.
And so I guess, you know, and that's good, man. You took that, the philosophy, and you used your dissertation to be a Six Sigma workout,
right?
With your human resources.
Yep. It was definitely strategic.
Yeah.
And then I used that degree to tell my boss, this is why I need a raise.
That, hey. Show me the money.
I've done the surveys. So this is why, if you want me to help you take the organization to the next level, this is the title I need to have, and this is the salary I need to have.
Hey, you know what?
Yep.
People can argue all they want to, but the statistical data does not lie. It don't lie. You got to follow the statistics and do some analyzing and find out where your deficits are. And work on those.
Yeah.
And sometimes it may just mean working on one thing at a time. But yeah, kudos. So what advice would you... What advice would you give others while trying to balance education, faith, and professional goals?
Yeah, great question. And this is something that I had to master. Definitely was time management, you know, being a single father, you know, being in ministry, you know, working full time and in school, two schools at one time. I would tell people, have a clear vision. One of the biggest things that I hear kind of put back into the supernatural, back into this, you know, the Bible talks about if without a vision, right, the people perish.
Yeah, right.
Me being a visionary, and I'm a type A personality, I need to know what I'm working toward.
Yeah.
Know what I'm working toward, I am frustrated. So, you know, so even me, I have vision boards and things on my laptop that just remind me. And even kind of just looking at some of my goals from this year, I said I want to do this by this time. And it's crazy how when you speak things into the atmosphere and you have such a bulldog mindset, those things happen for you. I look back, I accomplished this at that time, this time did this. So I tell people, have a clear vision. And then set boundaries. And sometimes those boundaries might have to be with people. I'm going to say something that's going to shock many people. Set boundaries with even those people that might be time wasters.
Oh, man.
time wasters.
You know, that's a whole sermon.
Sir, yes. We can have a whole series on this. Time wasters. But I had to set those boundaries. I had to lean on my support system and to prioritize rest. Because you can have all these great goals and all this, but if you're not resting, your body's going to let you know, hey, it's time to rest. You know, you're so prone to being sick and different things like that, or you're always tired. So those things help me. But then most importantly, trust the process and staying anchored in your why. I need to know, why, Russell, are you doing this? Why do you want to get here? And your why will propel you when it does not look like you want to do it anymore. So know what your why is.
You know what? You just, hey, man, you're taking me back, man, because you just asked the five whys.
Yep.
That's a Six Sigma principle.
Yes, sir.
You got, if you can answer why five times, then it's probably what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm kind of like that myself. Once I set my sights on something and it's impregnated in my mind that I can do this, mm-hmm. there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing it.
Right. Come on.
You know, and that kind of drive, it's not uncommon, but it's hard to produce or pull out of people.
Yeah, it is.
Especially now, because we live in a society where everybody's so judgmental.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, they think they're out in the bag of chips. And my thing is, I am.
Right.
Okay, what is it? What is wrong with you? So, kudos to you on that. Let's talk about your future law practice.
Okay.
Now, I know you were paralegal. You did all this law, you know, work towards in the law field, doing contracts, stuff like that. But what makes you want to be an attorney? I know you say you have 2 years left.
Yeah.
And we'll be calling you, Dr. Attorney Russell Whitney, the second DBA, GBO, MBA of the Church of Christ.
Alphabet soup.
I know, right? What makes you want to be a lawyer?
Yeah, so it came from my fight for justice, if I could be honest. I remember at that time being younger, and my mother used to work at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in the factory in Oklahoma. And great money, long hours. But I remember when this big old, I forgot what they call them, but it was a big old tire, huge tire. It literally fell on her back. She had to have back surgery and everything, so much trauma. So being a little kid, seeing your parent go through that, it was a little traumatizing to me. And this is the thing that got me. It was a workers' compensation claim. And to see the attorneys that were working for Goodyear, how they were treating their employee to save money. They wanted her to settle for less than what she deserved, didn't want to rehabilitate her to a new role, all of this back and forth she had to go through. And I saw the frustration on her face. And I said, you know what? What if I could be an attorney that represents those that don't have a voice?
Wow.
Or to represent those that don't feel like they are treated fairly. So this passion, going back to the prophet, because sometimes that prophet is that person too. the people that don't have a voice, that prophet sometimes is that voice as well. But then kind of seeing all of that, and it made me really passionate about justice and equity. So in my legal practice, which is so many things I want to do, but I definitely want to be able to advocate for individuals and businesses. And this will kind of allow me to like emerge my HR, my business expertise, you know, with a deeper understanding of laws that kind of help shape workplaces and communities. But there is a part of me, I really want to do civil rights. I really want to do employment law and discrimination, even some medical malpractice stuff, just because of some things that my mother went through.
Wow. So once you get your law degree, you plan on opening a practice in Cincinnati?
I actually want to open them in multiple places. So I also want to do sports and entertainment law. I have a background with sports and entertainment law as a paralegal. So I want to represent those artists out there, those movie stars, as well as celebrities. Some of that requires even some intellectual property. So dealing with copyrights and trademarks, kind of being able to fight for those branding images things as well too, when it comes to presenting those type of clients. So with that being said, I do want to practice here as well, but New York, Los Angeles, Miami, those big cities that have a huge concentration of celebrities. I want to be able to have a footprint in those areas.
So you're going to be the next Ben Crump.
I'm trying to be.
Yeah, what was his crime? What was his crime?
And Willie Gray and all of them. Johnny Cochran, hey, sign me up.
Man, so what role do you see your faith in navigating the intersection of law, advocacy, and professional growth? How do you see all that playing a part together?
Yeah, so, you know, faith being the foundation, right? And talking about in this conversation, even talking about the kingdom and dominating, I see such a need for spirit-filled, safe attorneys out here, you know, to really be like, you know what, we're going to take this mountain back for God. There's a lot that goes in the legal system, you know, not to play political, whatever, but, you know, even some things that we know that are not ethical that are going on in our government, right? Wanting to be that voice, to be able to come against some of those things, or even maybe help with some policies or different things like that. So maybe I'll be a judge one day, who knows? But faith is my foundation.
Why not?
Right.
Why not?
But, you know, faith is my foundation, but it fuels my commitment to fairness, to compassion. You know, and it just kind of reminds me to see each case or every situation through the lens of purpose and service. How can I serve, or how can I use my purpose and my destiny to serve in law? Is really what makes me want to go to this next level with this.
You ever thought about going into politics?
A little bit.
Uh-huh. Look.
I'm praying that through still, because, you know, there's this stigma with politicians. So.
Hey, when I mentioned that, you know, you ever seen the movies where somebody has a bright idea and you see that little beam of light go ding?
Uh-huh.
When I brought that up, I saw that little beam, but that little beam leave your eye, man. It's like bing.
Yeah, you was in my prayer closet a little bit. I've been praying about that a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I ain't no prophet. But I just thought I'd ask the question.
Hey, because I mean, you're not prophets, anybody can prophesy.
But I mean, you're well-rounded enough. You're very personable. Your educational dynamics is just phenomenal, and you're still young. You got a whole bunch of years left. Yeah. So I just thought I'd ask the question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that push. I felt that gentle push.
Oh man, praise God. Yes. So. you told me you have plans for coaching in 2025. You mentioned plans on taking business and career clients in 2025. And what exactly are you going to do with those to help do career building?
Yeah, so, you know, this is really coming from years of... I've been, you know, coaching a little bit on the side, but I haven't really, you know, officially kind of like launched it. And I really kind of feel... you know, God just kind of pushing me in this area, just because obviously I believe with my unique background, but my unique calling, that I have really a passion of helping others unlock their potential. And that's something that brings me fulfillment. So thinking, you know, obviously we talked about the apostolic and the prophetic, but even kind of talking about how the apostolic is that thing that builds and able to shape and to mold and to cause people, I really believe that this will help me show people a blueprint for success, whether that's individually or business wise. So, you know, seeing how faith and purpose can transform their career is going to help them with that without preaching to them. But, you know, since, you know, we did talk about this prophetic gifting, I would love to help people reach their potential and their purpose and not keep wandering. So it'll help me kind of just guide others into aligning, you know, their gifts with their professional goals. So I'll take, you know, clients that are looking to maybe get to a certain job, or maybe that's resume building or interviewing tips. Hey, there are a lot of people here, I say here, even in today's society, that doesn't even understand how to put a resume together, or how to, for an interview, or how to get a promotion on a job. It's a whole strategy behind that. So I want to help people to be able to do that. And then for those, obviously, that want to start businesses, helping them not just start a business, because we know in the first year, so many businesses don't even make it, right? But being able to help their businesses be successful and be strategic. Have they thought about a competitive analysis strategy? How can they, like we talked about earlier, how can they pivot when change comes and stay on top? So kind of being able to cause them to understand that and to see that God-given genius that's on the inside of them, they just need somebody to help them unlock it.
Yeah, and, you know, part of that is knowing how to dress when you go to an interview. Yeah. Because now, yeah, I was a manager at a place here in America. We won't say where it was, but it was in America.
Great job.
And I had a person coming in to interview for a job, and they had on a wrinkled shirt and wrinkled khakis and sandals.
Oh, wow.
And I said, young man, where did you think you were coming to?
Yeah.
Geez. I'm coming for an interview. I said, no, you're not. You go back and you come back tomorrow.
Let's reschedule it for you. Yeah.
Put some heat on them pants and some heat on them shirts and put on some, at least some, you know, some Timberlands or something.
Right.
Come to my office like that. I sent them away. I didn't interview them. But, you know, that whole presentation of, you know, helping clients build their whole essence as far as going into with a good resume, with a good, you know, being able to dress good, being able to articulate yourself, being able to make eye contact, the handshake, that whole stuff, that all that plays a part into it, right?
Yeah, and you know, first impressions, everything.
Hey, facts.
Yeah.
So what services or resources will you provide to help your clients achieve this? Like, is there written literature that you're working on, or is there just classes?
Yeah, it's kind of twofold. So I am going to be doing like personalized sessions on like leader development, entrepreneurial guidance, workshops on like work-life balance, purpose-driven success, things like that. But I'm also going to create a platform where people can kind of just go on their own pace. I realize that people learn at different levels. So like how you and I are talking one-on-one, people can glean from that. But there's some people that are more, they need like self-paced, like, let me go through this course or that's teaching on so-and-so, so-and-so. So I'm going to have a mix. I'm going to have a platform where they can actually just log in, you know, and go through different sessions and different modules as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Some people need a significantly structured environment.
Yeah.
And some people need a semi-structured environment, and some people just learn loosely. You know what I'm saying? It depends on what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Will determine how structured I need to be. I'm pretty structured. You know, I'm pretty, you know, oriented as far as boom, boom, boom. And I'm kind of OCD. So everything needs to be a certain way at a certain time. I need to do it a certain time every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you helping people navigate to find their place with that, I think that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, my other question is, man, do you have a clone or a twin brother? How are you going to do all this stuff?
Where are you going to get the time for? Well, the online platform will be self-paced, so that'll be a little bit more automated. So time management is definitely going to be key for me. But, you know, I found a lot of success when I do blocks of time. So if I like block out this time for this, for that. But it'll be fun for sure. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, how do you balance all this though? I mean, I know you got your blocks of time and you got certain time frames segregated for stuff like, and ladies and gentlemen, this ain't no joke. We scheduled this interview 2 months ago.
We did.
He says, wait a minute, let me check my calendar. Oh, I have an opening this day. I was like, hey, book me, man. Don't put me down. Put me down, because I can attest to that. But how do you fit time in just for you? Because your schedule is so jam-packed.
Yeah. So, sounds crazy, but I literally have to put it on the calendar. Sounds goofy. But even going to the gym, so kind of went through a little injury this year. But even kind of going next year, like I've already planned, like, these are the days I'm going to the gym this time. And just sometimes you have to be rude. And I tell my friends and my loved ones, and hey, I got a plan for this time. Let's get together after that time. You know what I mean? But if not, there's going to always be distractions. Something's going to always come up. And it's going to always be those time wasters. So it's worked for me. Sometimes it makes people a little upset. But I'm like, hey, you know, I'll get back with you, you know, and just follow through. Just kind of following through with that. But people in my life have kind of understand that. Like, you know, you got some things going on.
Man, you like OCD on steroids.
But then, look, there's sometimes where you'd be like, you know, God, not to make everything super spiritual, but sometimes God will tell me, you need to rest.
You need to do this. What do you do for fun? Like, don't tell me read a book.
No. I love going to the movies. I love going shopping. I will travel. I think this past year, like, I traveled like 4 different places. Put it all on the calendar and made it work right.
Oh, and there's that calendar again.
I love to have fun. I love to hang out with people. I love to eat. So I'm always trying new restaurants and open to some new restaurants next year. I like to have fun too. On top of, I think my motto is work hard, play hard.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah. Like I work very hard. So last summer I bought a motorcycle. I be riding that joker too, man. I love that thing. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Jay Will rides motorcycles. I have a 1700 Vulcan.
Come on.
Yeah, man. That thing's sweet. So what do you hope the listeners today will take away from, you know, your drive and your success and your willingness to help and, you know, help people by tapping into your prophetic and being influential in that capacity?
Yeah. Wow. I want to speak to everybody, but definitely the young people as well as, you know, those that are not younger, right? I think this applies to everybody. You know, start by seeking clarity. You know, for those of you that are, you know, faith-filled, affiliated, start by seeking clarity through prayer and reflection. Don't rush the process. You know, sometimes it's going to take growth. I kind of grew up in ministry around a lot of my peers that were starting churches and had global ministries and things like that coming out of Tulsa. And I was like, I'm not in a rush. You know what I mean? So a lot of what I've done in like the most recent years, like 5 to 7 years, have been me praying and, you know, growing, say, God, show me what to do. Yeah. So sometimes it's going to, growth takes time. So surround yourself with mentors. Remain open to opportunities, even if they don't look like what you expected. Some of the jobs that I've had the most success, I wasn't looking for them.
Yeah.
They kind of just fell in my lap, right? And so sometimes you don't know what it's going to be like, but remaining open to those opportunities, I'm a firm believer that God will order your steps.
Yeah.
If he has ordained you to do something, he's in charge of the timetable, not me. So when I learned that God is in charge of the timetable, I'm not, it took some stress off of me. Now there's a part with my personality that I feel like things need to be done by this time. But now I know to kind of just be easy. It's great to have to go do that, but God has a way of just blowing on our goals sometimes. So I always tell people, for some reason he thinks he's in charge, so just let him be in charge. That's helped me a lot too. But surrounding yourself with people that think like you. And for those of you that are believers, we relate to Joseph, right? You know, having a dream, but there are some dream killers. So stay away from the dream killers. That sounds sounds like a book. You should write that. Stay away from the dream killers, right? And surrounding yourself with people that are destiny helpers have been so crucial for me. Even in my personal life, I'm going to be very vulnerable. This is going to help somebody that's going to listen to this. I know it. Even having parents, my mom, amazing, supported me through whatever. But then having, you know, a father that would say, hey, why do you want to do all this? Why do you want to do this? You know, and race always an issue or whatever, you know, the white man this, the white man that, the black man this, you know, all of these things. But not even feeling I had the support of my father to do certain things, but I knew God's called me to do this. You know what I mean? My dad doesn't really believe a lot the way that I do, right? As far as your purpose and church, all that stuff. But I'm declaring that he's going to get saved for real. But just kind of knowing that, hey, I know this is from God. And it doesn't matter if that dream killer is a spouse, a brother, a sister, a parent. You got to go for what you know that God has called you to do. And so that's been very key to me. So this has helped me. So if I can encourage everybody listening tonight, make sure you have clarity through prayer and reflection. Don't rush the process. It's going to take time. But get rid of any of those dream killers and look more for destiny helpers. That's the advice I would give.
You know, you said something that's very pinnacle because, you know, I find myself that when God drops something into my spirit,
yeah,
I can't shake it.
Right.
And regardless of how many people think that I cannot,
yep.
I believe, and you know, it may be a sure stroke of genius or sure stroke of blind ignorance or faith, but I really believe that I can do all things.
Yes, come on.
Through Christ, which gives me strength. And there ain't anybody in heaven or hell or on earth that can tell me otherwise. If God has dropped that in my spirit.
Right. Come on.
And so I just want to piggyback on what the apostle prophet has said. if God has dropped it in your spirit, then you're obligated to find the resources to make it happen.
Come on.
Because if he drops it in, so I had no idea a year ago that I was going to have my own podcast platform.
Wow.
You know, I own the platform.
Love it.
You know, but God dropped it in my spirit, and then he made a way for me to do it. I had no idea I was going to own my own radio station.
Wow.
God dropped it in my spirit, and a week and a half later, I was a radio station owner.
Come on. I love it.
So if God drops it in your spirit,
sir,
and you have the faith,
yep.
You have to work it, though, because faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
But if he drops it in your spirit, you got to do it. So if the people want to get in contact with you to find out more about your coaching and want to find out more about you, want you to come to their businesses and work with their HR departments and help them in the Six Sigma world, we call it the poker yoke.
Right.
Let's do some value stream mapping and stuff like that. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so multiple ways. So if you're on LinkedIn, just search Russell Whitney MBA. Actually, sorry, Dr. Russell Whitney is updated on LinkedIn. You can email me at rewphd@gmail.com. Any of those ways you can get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook as well. Jay, well, I wanted to kind of share one thing as you were talking, I was kind of thinking about how I can help people that might be trying to figure out what's next for them.
Absolutely.
Because the prophetic thing, right? So I want to encourage, I'm going to give everybody a reflective exercise to think about, especially during the holiday season. Ask yourself, what unique gifts do I have that the world needs?
Wow. Hey, man.
Yep.
Why are you messing with people right now? Say that again. I think they missed it.
Yep. What unique gifts do I have that the world needs? And so, and then to add to this, what's one step I can take today to develop those gifts? I'm going to encourage you to write it down and then commit to it.
Wow. Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
What is there a scripture, a quote that you just love to quote all the time that you live by?
Yeah, several. scripture, right? Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. You know, it talks about exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. I have to remind myself that this is bigger than me. And this is how you know sometimes that God has called you to do something. But you know what? It don't seem like I could do this. And I'm like, God, I need you to exceedingly abundantly above all I could think or imagine. I need you to show me how this is going to happen. That's how you know it's a God moment or it's a God thing. And then another favorite scripture I have, quote that I daily look at is by William Churchill. history will be kind to me because I intend to write it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
It has propelled me.
I don't know if I have any.
I've never done before.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any special quotes. I know my favorite scripture is 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your hands as we commanded you.
Yeah,
that I kind of live by that, you know, study to be quiet and just work. But man, I may have to pick up your verbiage. I like yours a lot better because mine seems a whole lot military. Just be quiet and do what you're told, boy.
Yeah, Ephesians 20:21-21. That's my stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So shoot the people your email address one more time.
Yeah, so it's rewphd@gmail.com. Then I'm on LinkedIn, Dr. Russell Whitney.
Man, I really appreciate you spending some time with the old fella. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Dr. Russell Whitney, the second DBA, GBL, and MBA, life coach, you know, spiritual advisor, right. You know, HR director. I mean, you just name it. This guy is just so young and so full-rounded, soon to be an attorney at law. I mean, y'all look him up. Tap into his spiritual aura. Tap into the brilliancy. And I you know what? I was getting ready to close, but I got to bring this back. Because you said something that's very important. Surround yourself with like-minded people.
Yeah.
And I'm always reminded whenever I talk to people, I said, you know what? You don't see lions hanging out with the cobras.
Come on.
You don't see zebras hanging out with the lions.
No.
And although we have a pack mentality, sometimes we try to allow inclusiveness to take us away from the pack mentality, and then we fall in the same category as the people who are not trying to go anywhere or do anything.
Wow.
And so if you're going to hang around, I want to hang around intelligent people.
Yeah.
I want to hang around people that are business owners, that are business minded, that have drive. I don't want to hang around somebody that's got their pants hanging down to their knees.
Right.
And all they want to do is smoke weed and drink every day. We don't have anything in common.
Right.
So you got to hang around like-minded people. And I just wanted to bring that back up just in case y'all missed it. You needed to hear it again.
Yeah.
Because stop hanging around people who are dead ends.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, man, you know, you've been doing the same thing for the past 15 to 20 years and have accomplished nothing. You know, what's the scripture? Forgetting those things which are behind.
Yeah, got to press.
It talks about pressing. So yeah. It doesn't matter what I did. I don't care if I scored 4 touchdowns. Like, I know you watch Married with Children, Al Bundy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I once scored 4 touchdowns in a football game. Dude, you was 16.
Right.
You're
like, well,
you're 60 years old now. What have you done last week? So yeah, hang out with like-minded people. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to go. I really appreciate your time. I could talk to you all evening.
Thank you so much. I would love to come back. Just let me know.
Hey, you let me look, write me in your schedule. And when you write me in, I'm gonna write you in mine. And so we'll be locked in, because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we probably need to cover, especially when we get into the life coaching.
Yeah.
I definitely want to tap into that and see how it's going. See what we can do on this platform to help you achieve that, because people building.
Yeah.
Is part of my ministry. I want to help people, but now I'm a military spiritual leader. You know what I'm saying? So you got to get down and you got to grunt it out.
Come on.
Don't tell me that you want to do this and you sleep every day till noon. I ain't fooling with you.
You sound like me. Hey. So you don't want it for real. You don't want this.
You don't want that. But that's part of that growing up in the military.
It is.
Yep. That structure, people that want stuff will sacrifice what their, you know, their personal time to achieve the goals.
Right.
You know, so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your boy, J-Will Podcast with the Dr. Prophet, Russell Whitney II. I've already said that. DBA, GBL, MBA, Human Resources Director. Listen, if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you may do so. Look at the scroll at the bottom, Cash App, $JWill Podcast, or via the donate feature on the RSS homepage. You can find me on just about all podcast platforms. Don't forget to tune in to the J-Will Gospel Radio, Live 365. Go ahead and download the mobile app. Go to your Play Store, download the mobile app, search for J-Will Gospel Radio, 24/7 gospel. If you're an aspiring artist and you want your music to be potentially featured on my show, I host the Unsigned Artist Gospel Show and the J-Will Gospel Show. Shoot me a master MP3, photo, and a short bio to leewill@gmail.com or jwillmusicproductionllc@gmail.com. If you're a church and you want to potentially have your church broadcast on a Sunday morning on the J-Will Gospel Radio, shoot me an email, leewill@gmail.com or jwillmusicproductionllc@gmail.com, and send me that new music. May the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace. We're out of here.